minus 15 seconds. Guidance is internal. 12, 11, 10, 9. Ignition sequence start. 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Hello and welcome to the Launchpad Podcast, presented by Clutch City Control Room, your home for all things Houston hoops. I'm one of your hosts, Britt, co-host of Step Back Sisterhood and contributor at Clutch City Control Room, and you can find me on Twitter at Britt Robotista.
And I'm your second host, Akib Ghazi, longtime Houston sports fan and diehard Rockets fan, and you can find me on Twitter at Akib_Rockets. And be sure to follow the official Clutch City Control Room account at Clutch City CR. And if you appreciate the podcast, do us a favor and hit the subscribe button on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever it is you listen to your podcasts. We would greatly appreciate it.
Well, Akib, it's been a very long, I feel like, I guess
48 hours.
Yeah, 48 hours. Yeah. So this time, about, you know, 48 hours ago, I was sitting here talking to Dex about the Rockets' really bad loss versus the Lakers when we suddenly got the alert that Harden was being traded. And we'll definitely get to that in the next segment. But for now, I want to sort of discuss what has happened that has been very positive in the last 48 hours, which is the Rockets' 109-105 win versus the Spurs. Does that sound good?
That sounds amazing. And, you know, it was just a joy and kind of almost like a relief watching that game. We got our mind off of, you know, James. I mean, you can't really get your mind off of James Harden after what just transpired. But Definitely after watching that game, a hard fought victory for sure. You know, Rockets, just to like kind of summarize it all at the end, the Rockets were down 99-90, I believe, with about 4.5 minutes to go. And they made a really nice run and eventually got the win. And I loved everything about that win.
And I think the one thing that makes it even more, I guess, nice to see is that we know the comments that Harden said when it came to the team just over 48 hours ago. Just to recap, because we did talk about this during the last podcast, but I think it makes sense to bring it up here considering the Rockets win. Harden said, "We're just not good enough. Chemistry, talent-wise, everything. It's clear. I love the city. I literally done everything that I can. It's crazy. It's something that I don't think can be fixed." So, of course, one game is very much a small sample size to determine if the Rockets have, in fact, have the chemistry and talent that Harden thought they did not have. But what were your favorite moments during the game that that made you feel at least a little bit positive about the Rockets' future?
Well, we saw multiple players go into double figures. If I'm looking at the box score right here, we saw we had four players. PJ Tucker was in double figures. Christian Wood was in double figures. And then I think also Jayshon Tate was in double figures as well. And one more, and that was also Sterling Brown. Oh, he had a phenomenal game. That was a huge bright spot for me. He had 23 points, 3 assists, seven rebounds. He was 3 for 7 from three. And Sterling Brown, honestly, he's been lighting it up all season long. This was his 10th game of the season playing, I believe. And he's been phenomenal shooting the ball, but I just liked everyone's contribution. And then we had three guys score 9 points each: David Nwaba, Mason Jones, and DeMarcus Cousins. So it felt like a team win tonight, as opposed to, you know, what we've seen in the past, where it's the ball is obviously dominated by James Harden and, you know, a couple of other key players. But I just really like that win.
And I'm looking at the stat line as well, and every single player on the team who was dressed played tonight, which is pretty amazing considering our previous history with, you know, most recently D'Antoni, who is now reunited with Harden. But like I said, we'll talk about that in a later segment. My favorite part of the game was Tate has been absolutely phenomenal. But also, I think there were a couple of moments from Mason Jones, one of our other rookies, that were really impressive. And, you know, some folks were calling him Baby Harden because of like the mid-range step backs. Yeah. And that was fun to see. Even though he's, you know, really only played a couple of games for the team, Were you impressed with those two?
Definitely Mason Jones, because him being a rookie, and I watch a little bit of college basketball, and you know, last season I remember him at Arkansas. He actually averaged over 20 points a game, which is not easy to do in the college basketball, you know, area. So it's like, for me, seeing Mason Jones get some nice shots, you know, cook some guys on the way tonight. It's kind of expected for me, just knowing how good of a player Mason Jones is, but definitely I love the showing from him tonight.
Yeah. And I think the other thing that was fun about the game that happened, correction, not everyone played. Of course, we only had nine people on the team, and but everyone who was dressed did play. But the other thing that was super impressive to me is that I think we saw for the first time how Silas wanted his playbook to be played. And, you know, unfortunately, because of Harden essentially, you know, quitting more or less, if we want to be blunt about it, the last couple of games before he, you know, said his infamous words, they really seemed a lot slow when it came to, you know, the ball handling and the, you know, how sets were being performed. But tonight it was really a nice feeling, and to have every single player score, even Tucker, who scored 10 points, which is probably his season high, surprisingly enough, that's nice to see.
For sure. And like with PJ Tucker, we know he still has his contract disputes, you know, he wants to get paid more, and like rightfully so. He's a veteran in this league, and he's done so much for the Houston Rockets. Like, I could see from his point of view why he wants to get paid. But from a financial perspective for the Rockets, it's not really in your best interest to pay PJ Tucker, you know, whatever he wants. And at 36 years old, it just doesn't make too much, you know, sense right now. But what I just to quickly discuss, like, with this team, I mean, obviously you did mention it's one game, it's a very small sample size, but what I just liked was like the fight and heart from this team, and it just seemed like the energy was so much more different. And even though we still have some things to work on in the transition game, like defensively, I still just liked a lot of our defensive effort. And this Spurs team is no joke, really. Like, they were, I think coming into this game, they were above 500. They're, I think, 6-5, I believe.
Yeah.
So they're not, and then they still have, they're actually very healthy. Lonnie Walker, LaMarcus Aldridge, Keldon Johnson, DeMar DeRozan, DeJounte Murray, Patty Mills, Rudy Gay, they're all healthy. So it's interesting to see that we were able to gut out a win here tonight, especially being down 9 points late in the fourth quarter.
Yeah. Early on, the Rockets had a sizable lead, and then, you know, I feel like a lot of the games before Harden's trade, and just in general, they lost that lead. And it seemed as though there may not have been a chance for them to come back. But I agree with you. It was definitely impressive and really nice to see them, you know, grit out a win when the Spurs, like you mentioned, yes, they're now 6-6, but they have had impressive wins versus both of the LA teams and a few others as well. So it's not as though the Spurs are, I don't think they'll ever be with, you know, Popovich being the head coach, and maybe even after, they won't be a team to like take lightly at all.
For sure. They're definitely that team that, I mean, I know they missed the playoffs last season, but you know, a lot of things transpired over the last season with COVID, and I'm sure they're still trying to identify themselves, you know, being without Kawhi Leonard for the past couple of seasons now. But, you know, they're still a very talented team, and the fact that we beat them with these young guys, Jayshon Tate, Sterling Brown, David Nwaba, you know, Mason Jones, Kenyon Martin Jr., like all those guys contributed heavily to this victory. You could say the only negative note was Ben McLemore tonight. You know, he did not play his best basketball. We could see, you know, Ben McLemore as a player, he's an amazing shooter. He's one of the best shooters in the NBA, in my opinion. But just the way that, you know, with the Rockets, this team, it's very hard for you to thrive off of this Silas offense if you're not a guy that can put the ball on the floor. And, you know, you definitely saw that from Ben McLemore tonight. He's strictly a catch and shoot guy. And when he's not making his shots, we all know that, you know, he was a team high or a team low -7 tonight. So we all know when he's not playing defense, it's very hard to play him.
Yeah, he was tied with DeMarcus Cousins with minus 7 tonight.
That also makes sense because Cousins' defense.
Yeah, so. For sure. But I think real quick, I want to talk again about Tate, who was a plus 17 with 13 points. He was, like I said earlier, I thought he was absolutely wonderful. And of course, he's an NBA rookie, but he does have 3 years of professional experience behind him. I guess I'm thrilled to see him playing so well on both ends of the court, which wasn't necessarily the case when earlier in his career.
Yeah. Jayson Tate, I mean, he did play overseas last season. And I mean, we know how good he is, like offensively, that he can bully guys. Even though he's only, 6'4", 6'5", he can bully guys much bigger than him in the paint. So, definitely seeing this showing from him defensively, and he's being compared to PJ Tucker by a lot of guys. It's great to see from him. And he had, 10 assists tonight, 13 points, 5 rebounds, so, and 2 blocks as well. So he's just kind of all over the place. He's like a stat sheet stuffer at this point for us.
Yeah, for sure. Was there anything else that stood out to you when it came to the game?
I mean, of course, you know, Christian Wood, he should be the biggest talking point. He gave us 27 and 15 tonight. And the biggest thing to me was he shot 5 for 7 from 3, which is over 70%. So I think that was huge. And he hit a huge 3 late to actually tie the game before the Rockets went up 2. So that was really big and much needed. So he can be a big time player, and it was fun to see Shaq, you know, come out and just be like, you know, hey, in the post game, he did tell Christian Wood, you know, I didn't pay attention to your game much. You know, I didn't know who you were. And Christian Wood straight up called him a casual. So I thought that was hilarious.
And I mean, Charles also called him Woods instead of Wood, which is definitely a casual remark. But I have issues with the inside the NBA folks, so I'll keep those to myself. Yeah, I think overall it's just exciting to have something positive happen this week when it comes to the team. After the 2 losses with the Lakers, that was just, I feel like, demoralizing. And now we actually have to discuss the second part of why I guess a lot of us have been feeling demoralized over the last couple of weeks, which is trade of James Harden and what happened there. So when we come back, we'll talk about that.
And we are back in here at the Launchpad podcast presented by Clutch City Control Room. If you're liking what you're listening to, please consider subscribing as well as giving us a review on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. We would greatly appreciate it. So, Britt, so just heading into the second segment, what did you think about, you know, some of the things that transpired with James Harden, his comments, and then also the trade that went down with the Brooklyn Nets? Currently the 3-team trade with the Nets and then the Cleveland Cavaliers, and then you could say the Pacers one that's made official. But what did you think overall about this trade, Britt?
Yeah, so I have been saying on Twitter for a while that the Rockets should wait until they get as close to a home run is what I said, but I think as close to a good trade as possible that it didn't include trash and, you know, bad assets. And I think that overall, when it comes to this trade, it wasn't too bad. So let me recap for folks who may not know the full particulars, especially since, as you mentioned, the trade initially included Indiana, but that part of the trade was removed and was reduced from a 4-team trade to a 3-team trade. So quickly, and it's quite long, so forgive me for being long-winded. The Nets received James Harden from the Rockets and a 2024 second round pick from the Cavs. The Nets traded to the Rockets Caris LeVert, Rondé Cruzes. I always say his name wrong.
Rodion's Krux.
Okay.
It's a tough one. It's a tough one for sure.
Yeah. I'm bad at names, so I'm just like, I can't stand it. And 3 first round picks from 2022, 2024, and 2026, and 4 first round pick swaps for 2021, 2023, 2025, and 2027 from the Knicks. They also obtained Dante Exum from the Cavs, who is currently injured, and I'm not sure what's going to happen with him, as well as a 2022 pick via Milwaukee that was from Milwaukee's trade with the Cavs. So the Cavs received Jared Allen from the Nets, as well as Tayshaun Prince, and rights to Alexander Vesekov from the 57th overall pick from 2017 from the Nets. And that is more or less it. So, like I said, I have been thinking about it over the last 48 hours or so. Well, less than that, since technically speaking, the trade didn't finalize until today. And we didn't really hear the full parts of the trade until, the morning time. But I think that considering everything that has happened the last couple of hours and couple of weeks and months, to be honest, Harden essentially is poisoning the well when it came to 28 other teams and, potentially saying to them, through back channels, of course, since that's technically tampering, that he would not re-sign with them and would likely quit. Or maybe not quit, but not pick up his player option when that happens in 2 years, as well as just his attitude, if I'm going to be kind.
Yeah.
The last couple of games, especially, and his comments that he made Tuesday before the trade occurred. I think we can say that Raphael Stone hands were really and truly tied when it came to the situation. Mm-hmm. And to essentially get 8 picks, four, picks that are straight up ours and 4 pick swaps from the Nets and from the Cavs via the Milwaukee Bucks. I think that really as well as once it's finalized, Victor Oladipo, which we'll talk about a little bit later on, who will be traded for Caris LeVert, as well as, just all the other particulars. It's not that bad. Like, it could have been better, and I think there's a possibility, but I think, honestly, if we're trying to think about everything that's surrounding the trade to get, as much of a return is, pretty impressive in my viewpoint. What about you?
Yeah. So, I mean, I didn't hate the trade, obviously. I didn't love it either. It's very hard to get back, any sort of return for James Harden, because James Harden is an unbelievable basketball player for sure. And I didn't like, as I discussed a little earlier, I didn't like the way he, took care of business, near the end. I thought at the beginning of the season, he looked very good. First 3 games, he was averaging 36, 37 points. And he looked like he was going to buy in, and he had some good comments about the team. And, he was kind of leading on or misleading us in a way until these last 4 or 5 games, under the table, things started progressing and there were trades that were lining up for James Harden. And I guess as spectators, we didn't know much about that, but at the same time, what can you do with regards to that? I mean, definitely he should not have acted as such. And those comments were definitely hurtful for the team. And you saw definitely his former teammates, how hard they played tonight. So that was kind of like an FU in a way. Like, we're good enough to hoop, basically. But yeah, I mean, just going into the details of the trade, I think this, it's a good trade in the way that you could say that it's a very versatile trade. So trading for, hopefully, if the Rockets do end up getting Victor Oladipo, you could do there's 3 routes you could take if you're the Houston Rockets. The first route being you can have Victor Oladipo on your team for this season, play him out, try to be competitive this season, kind of like what OKC did last season. They had some veteran guys, they played it out, they really tried hard, and then they kind of broke up some things when they traded away Chris Paul to the Phoenix Suns. But they still, at the same time, they have some young talent to work off of, and we have John Wall. So you could still go into this season working hard, trying to make the playoffs. I definitely can see that happening. So that's what the, I guess that's one thing that the Rockets have in mind. And then you can just kind of dissolve everything, break it up after this season. Maybe you could do a sign and trade with Victor Oladipo, or you can let him walk entirely. Mm-hmm. The second thing you can do is, if you're the Houston Rockets, is you can just, as soon as you get Victor Oladipo, you can trade him by that March deadline, and maybe get a player that is more committed. Because right now we've heard some reports that he's actually not committed to joining the Houston Rockets. But that's, I mean, it's kind of against his will. He can't really do anything once he's traded. So that's one thing you could do, is you can just trade him right away within the next 2 months, and then see if you can get someone that wants to play for the Houston Rockets, maybe get a superstar or a star in return. And then you can build your future that way. And then the third thing I think you can do is just straight up, you could trade away Oladipo, you could trade away John Wall. You have a lot of assets to work with, obviously, a lot of picks for sure. Definitely over the course of this offseason, you know, definitely Stone has done a fantastic job, but those are just different. You have so many options. So I think this was great in terms of like a versatility standpoint, is that you can do a lot of things by making these trades happen. But, you know, for me personally, I'm kind of like a supporter of, you know, we should have brought in a younger superstar that could definitely, you could really build off of, maybe like a Ben Simmons. Of course, I know a lot of Rockets Twitter, just because he's broke and he doesn't have a jump shot, you know, they kind of hate on him a little bit. But I really enjoy his game, you know, defensively, and his passing ability and all that. So I think we could have built around him despite his offensive woes. That's the route I would have taken, and then you could definitely secure your future short term and long term. But with this other trade that the Houston Rockets have made, it's more of like a long term thing, and banking on the Nets being bad, you know, in 2025 and 2027. So I'm not a big fan of that, you know, drafting your way. I'm more of like a trades guy. The best teams in my opinion in the NBA are all made up based off of trades. So,
but I guess the other thing, if I'm going to take devil's advocate on it, is that
sure,
the, you know, teams like the Warriors, the Raptors have grown their talent organically. You know, Steph Curry and Klay before, you know, his injuries, and Draymond Green, they all started from you know, good drafting decisions by the Warriors. And then for the Raptors, I mean, you can look at, you know, the players there outside of, you know, outside of a couple who were able to, I mean, and of course, you know, the big person that is no longer on the team and currently is in Clipperland, but more or less, I can see the drawbacks and the positives of both. There are, if we do have a good scouting staff, we can, you know, hopefully be able to convert those picks to really good players through drafting. But we can also use those picks to eventually, you know, do trades as well. Like, that's one of the things that was sort of lacking when it came to Morey in the last few years, because of all, sure, of his jockeying between and, you know, adding a ton of picks part of trades, you know, most notably the Chris Paul one. It caused the Rockets to not really have any sort of assets to assist with trades. So those can be used as well. And real quickly before we end this segment, I think the other thing that I want to discuss quickly, speaking of Daryl Morey, is that we heard from some reports, I think most notably CBS Sports, that the Rockets were given a proposal of a trade for Simmons, as well as a few other players and significantly less picks than the ones that were provided to the Rockets through the trade with the Nets. And I guess the one thing we should note is that Felicia Stone, who's Raphael Stone's wife, she said this was quote unquote fake news, that Tillman denied that request because he didn't want to work with Daryl Morey. But let's assume that it is true, because I think it's probably, the story's probably something in the middle. Do you think that the deal that was potentially proposed by the Sixers, what could have been a better deal? I mean, it sounds like you may think so.
Yeah, so I mean, had they thrown in Ben Simmons and Matisse Thybulle, or maybe even Ben Simmons and Tyrese Maxey, and maybe a pick or two, like I would have definitely been more on board with that than, despite, you know, Rockets Twitter lashing out against the thought of that, I would have been more on board with it just because I think it secures your future a little more. And I really like Tyrese Maxey, and I think if the Rockets pushed hard for it, I think it could have gotten done. But yeah, we'll just give like a quick shout out to, you know, our guy Anthony Duckett. So it was Felicia Stone who commented on his tweet, you know, saying that that whole thing was fake news. I don't know if it's fake news or not. Like, I could definitely, we can all see Tillman being that guy and being a little petty and not wanting to, you know, talk about or not even wanting to discuss a trade because he probably just doesn't like the way Daryl Morey, you know, left things in Houston. But we will talk about basically what, you know, what's in store for the Rockets in the future and, you know, what's up with this Victor Oladipo trade that still has not been made official yet, and we'll discuss that with you all in just a moment.
And we're back here at the Launchpad Podcast presented by Clutch City Control Room, where we're going to discuss the Rockets' future as well as the incoming, and it may be actually official by the time that you listen to this podcast, addition to Victor Oladipo. So I think the one thing that we have to spend a little bit more time on, although we talked about it in the second segment, was that Victor Oladipo, according to rumors, is very much interested in being a member of the Miami Heat, which it seems like everyone wants to be a member of the Miami Heat. Yeah. So Akeem, what do you think Victor Oladipo is going to do? And do you think he's going to buy in, at least for this season, when it comes to the Rockets, once that trade is made official?
Well, I mean, it's right now it's all speculation. And I mean, we never know what goes on with these reports. But yeah, the report did say that he wanted to join the Miami Heat. He wanted to be traded there instead of the Houston Rockets. And I think he didn't want to be, he actually expressed that he would not want to be a Houston Rocket, which is fine. We still don't know like how much of that is exactly true, and maybe he does change his mind, but as of right now, like, it's not official. We have Caris LeVert for now. That's one option. I think it'd be kind of, I don't know if that would even be possible to, you know, hold on to Caris LeVert if something happens and this trade doesn't go down. But you know, we've seen stranger things happen in the NBA where we have Shams or Waj report some things and for some reason it didn't go through. I mean, 99.9%, it always works out for those reports being made true and being made official later on. But we still don't know what's going on with Victor Oladipo. And it seems like everybody, like you said, kind of wants to go to the Miami Heat. And I could definitely see why. Like, they have that winning culture, that winning mentality, that hard work and play defense, grit and grind type mentality. And Victor Oladipo is that type of player. You know, he's excellent offensively for sure. He's this season, he's actually averaging 20 points a game. I think, which is his, this might be his second highest points per game average in his career. Mm. But he's also shooting 36% from three, which is great on pretty, you know, high volume, decent volume. So he's playing great offensively. He's not looking like, you know, the injured gel of himself that he was looking like last season. But then also just because of his defense, I'm sure Miami Heat is a team that interests him a lot. And I'm sure he wants to also compete for a championship team, which definitely the Miami Heat are a little further ahead than the Houston Rockets are in that regard. But I mean, what do you think plays out? You know, hopefully when it's made official, do you think, Britt, that he does like buy in to this Houston Rockets team, or do you think he just kind of gets sat out and gets traded?
I think that the biggest thing that he needs to do is, like, he'll have to at least buy in this season. The reason why is because he'll be an unrestricted free agent at the end of the season and he's looking to get paid. So I think that for, you know, the sake of him getting paid either in Houston or wherever, Houston will obtain his bird rights, you know, once that trade, you know, if it is made official. So they won't have to, you know, they can sign him for much larger than other teams that would be trading for him. But the thing that I think is a little bit different compared to Harden is that Oladipo hasn't been paid yet, and there's millions of dollars of reasons to have him, you know, at least buy in and show some worth, even if it's just for a short period of time until they, you know, the Rockets could potentially trade him before the trade window ends. So we got details that once the trade is finalized, they won't be able to aggregate his contract until March 5th, and maybe March 6th now, since the trade hasn't finalized yet. But once the trade has, or once that time frame has elapsed, they can aggregate him with another player, such as PJ Tucker, who has been rumored to be a player that the Rocket or that wants to move to a contender for, you know, very obvious reasons. So
and he wants to get paid.
Yeah, and get paid. I mean, I hate to go over to PJ Tucker since we were talking about Oladipo, but I'll put a pin on what I was saying about Oladipo. When it comes to Tucker, I feel like, especially after tonight, and this may change because we saw it change with Harden, that he's at least professional enough to play well during that time. And I think the Rockets will be more willing to accommodate him if he does decide that he wants to move on. But the Rockets could also sign him. Who knows? You know, all we know is that Tillman tends to not want to make deals until it's, you know, the player decides that they are the player or the coach wants to go out. But I don't want to go into another tangent, but let me get back to Oladipo real fast. I think ultimately he needs to at least buy in during the time that he's here. If he does eventually get traded, that's probably fine. But if he wants to get paid in the long term, either by the Rockets or anyone else, then yes, he's going to have to at least show a little bit of commitment, because ultimately he's traded and he will be fined if he decides to sit out.
I think with Victor Oladipo, I think he knows this, and most of the entire league knows this, that this offseason is going to be due for a lot of huge paydays. You know, we're going to see a higher rate, or an inflation per se, of like salaries and of, you know, these contracts. We're going to see like players that, you know, we even have John Collins, who's currently on the Atlanta Hawks. He actually refused a deal that was on the table for him for, I want to say, like around four years, 80 mil, or could be less than that.
But yeah, his rookie
he refused extension. That deal, that extension. Yeah, so he refused that deal just so that he can get paid in a max deal. I don't think he's a max player, but you know, we've seen some ludicrous contracts being thrown out there, you know, over the last couple of seasons. So I definitely can see players like John Collins, you know, getting significant contracts, as you know, just like Victor Oladipo probably wants to see himself getting a very nice max contract. And I'm sure he believes he's still talented enough. You could see from his numbers this season already to start it off. I think he's played in 9 or 10 games and he's averaging 20 a game. So he's probably thinking to himself, hey, I'm a very good defensive player. I'm a 20 points per game type scorer. Why don't I get a nice contract? So he's probably seeking the contract and a place where he can compete for a championship over this offseason. So I could definitely see why he doesn't want to be a Houston Rocket, you know, right now. But I do think for him, it's probably in his best interest, like long term, that he kind of just gets traded, you know, hoops, balls out, and gets a good, nice, hefty contract. He just has to buy in, at least for this season, and I think he should give Silas a chance. You know, Silas, he's an excellent coach. I've not heard one bad thing about him from any player. And even Harden and Westbrook, they're the ones, apparently Silas had said that they're the ones who kind of gave the word at the end to just hire him. So clearly the whole league has a lot of respect for him. And I do think Victor Oladipo should give Steven Silas a chance just because he's a phenomenal coach. And we've seen what he's done in the past as an assistant coach. And now we're seeing what he can do as the coach of the Houston Rockets.
Yeah. And I think the other thing that may allow him to buy in more as well is the win tonight. Yes, of course, it's like we mentioned a couple of times, a small sample size, but I think them showing the grit that they showed and actually having a relatively low scoring game, considering that it is the Rockets and they've had previous, like, you know, 125 plus games already this season, it's nice to see them. I think showing that even without Victor, that they can be successful, if he can buy in, can probably motivate him, or if this trade doesn't happen, LeVert or whoever, to, you know, sort of buy in for the short term. But of course, I mean, we could see a trade anytime and they can start tanking. So everything's up in the air. But I think it was at least very positive to see that the team didn't give up, at least for one game.
Definitely. And tonight was, you know, a great example of that. And I think we're gonna hope, as Rockets fans and just, you know, basketball fans in general, that there are players that see this Rockets team and see, you know, the potential that's kind of brewing out of this team. And, you know, once you get Eric Gordon back, Eric Gordon is another player, we don't know what's going to happen. He could very well be traded as well. But once we get him back, John Wall, potentially like Daniel House back, we can definitely see, you know, the other players can see across the NBA how good of a team, or how potentially how good this team can be, and, you know, give us some respect.
Yeah. And I think the last thing real fast is, I mean, speaking of small sample size, do you think that the Rockets can continue to be at least sort of successful moving forward? I mean, I think that even though it was very unprofessional and just like callous what Harden said, I think if we're being realistic, that, you know, it's going to be a lot harder road for them to be successful in the playoffs, and definitely a championship contender, probably not. But do you think that they have an opportunity to be successful regardless of that, or at least, you know, maybe even be in the play-in game or even higher than that?
Well, as it stands right now, we're only one game behind the Spurs, who are currently the eighth seed. And of course, there's a whole lot of basketball left. And I definitely see our ceiling with this team, because we're only two games away from the fifth seed, Dallas Mavericks. So I definitely see like our ceiling being a four or five seed potentially. That's definitely going to be our ceiling. I don't think we're going to be much better than that. It'll be very difficult to see, but that's our ceiling. And also, just, we should be able, I mean, with this group of guys, with this defense, with the hustle, maybe in the over the trade deadline, picking up an extra veteran big, I think we can very well see this Houston Rockets team, you know, make the playoffs or make it into a play-in game. So definitely, you know, you guys out there, you Rockets fans and Rockets haters, if you're listening, you know, don't sleep on this team. You know, we got some good players. We got some guys that can hustle and, you know, definitely give you guys a run for your money for sure.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree. And I think the other thing that is positive, that yes, it's going to be a hard road, but the league outside of the Lakers and a few other teams is really bunched up on both, you know, on the East and on the West side of the bracket. And the Rockets, if they can just be decent, I would say, like, you know, maybe like a above 500 mark, so they're not losing every other game for the rest of the season, they can definitely be in there, and at least competing for a playoff spot. And they don't have to tank, they really don't, at least not this season. And I think it's probably worthwhile for Coach Silas and everyone else to have that. But I think that'll do it for today's show. So if you haven't done so already, please make sure to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcast.
And if you appreciate the consistent digital and podcast breakdowns, analysis, speculation, and guest voices of our team, please consider clicking the link in the description to check out one of our monthly Patreon subscription options.
As always, thank you so much for listening, and we look forward to having you back on our next episode of Launchpad Podcast, covering your Houston Rockets.